For our meditation this morning, let's turn to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 7 to 13. I'll read those verses. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Let us pray. We thank you again, Father God, for bringing us this day together for worship. And Lord, as we spend these few moments meditating upon your Holy Scripture, we pray, Lord, that your voice would be heard, that we would be able to heed your direction, that we would be able to accept your guidance and lead our lives according to your will. Lord, again, we thank you for this blessed day and for this time of worship and meditation. We pray that you lead our thoughts according to your will, and we pray that our meditation this day would glorify your holy name. Be with us all and give us strength through your Holy Spirit. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So in this passage that we read from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we see Jesus, during the course of his Sermon on the Mount, he is teaching the people who have come to hear him preach about how they should pray. And we have adopted this prayer that Jesus has taught his followers as the Lord's Prayer. It's something that all of us recite probably many times a day. But concerning this prayer, is it a prayer that we should pray as a complete prayer? Or is it merely just a guideline that Jesus has set before us about how we should pray? So to get a better understanding of this, let's look at why exactly Jesus has instituted this prayer. So when we read this parallel chapter or parallel passage in the Bible that also speaks about the Lord's Prayer, which comes in Luke chapter 11, we see that Jesus actually is teaching his disciples how to pray because they requested him how to pray. So this seems a little bit unusual because we know that the Jewish religion is a religion that is based on prayer. So of course, Jesus' disciples who are Jews, they were brought up and raised in the Jewish tradition. So of course, they knew how to pray. They knew what prayer was about. Prayer was a foundation in their life. Their life was built upon that foundation. We know that many times a day they would set apart time to pray to God. We know that their community was a liturgical community. They had many prayers that were written down, many prayers that they recited day to day, many prayers that they took part in when they came together for worship. So why is it that Jesus' disciples would come to him and ask them how to pray? It's because they probably wanted a change in their prayer life. They wanted a change in their spiritual life, based on the fact that now they had seen God in Jesus Christ. God had been revealed through Jesus Christ to his disciples, and in the light of that new relationship, they wanted to know how it is to pray meaningfully based on that relationship. So that may be the reason why Jesus' disciples asked him about how to pray. But not only that, Jesus had a certain intention behind instituting this prayer. As I said before, you know, the Jewish religion is a religion that is based on the recitation of prayers. Prayers are a part of the daily life of the people. And there are prayers for all aspects of the lives of the people, and that is something that they would pray each and every day. And one of the most famous prayers that the Jews would recite each and every day is the Shema prayer, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." So this was something that they prayed continuously on a daily basis. But they also had many, many other prayers. They had many prayers that were full of elaborate language, long prayers. So this also was an issue that Jesus was trying to address in establishing the Lord's Prayer, what he was trying to teach his disciples and his followers, that it's not about the amount of words or the type of words that you use. It's not about using a lot of flowery language or elaborate explanations in prayers, but what's important is the genuinity behind those words that are used in prayer, the relationship that prayer is based on. That's why Jesus, when he teaches his disciples how to pray, he tells them that you should start your prayer like this. Pray in this way, our Father in heaven, to help them to know that they don't have to use so many different words to describe who God is. They know who God is. They know he is creator. They know he is sustainer and redeemer. They know about him, so they can address him merely as our Father in heaven. He's trying to simplify the people's understanding of prayer, and he's trying to help them understand that prayer is based on the relationship that exists between them and God. It's not about the language, but it's about the relationship. Secondly, what Jesus is trying to address in this prayer is that when we look at the other religions that existed during the time when Jesus was upon this earth, when we look at the other pagan religions, in those religions, we see also the fact that people would spend a great deal of prayer. They would use, again, a lot of elaborate language. And they sometimes would even shout out to their gods. And there was a reason behind that, because these people, these pagans who believed in false gods, they had this inner fear that their gods may not be listening to them, that their gods may be angry with them, that their gods may not answer their prayers. So they would use so much loud noise and elaborate words to draw the attention of their gods so that they could have some assurance that at least their prayers and their requests were being heard. And sometimes this same practice was adopted into the Jewish religion as well, because the Jews also were influenced by those outside of the religion, those who were a part of the culture of the time. So sometimes it's recorded that the Jews had a genuine fear of God. Fear not that they didn't respect him, but they had a fear that maybe God was too distant and that he was not going to listen to their prayers. But here, Jesus tells us that we should have no fear when we come to the presence of God, because again, he is our heavenly Father. He is our heavenly Father, and just as a father, our earthly fathers love each and every one of us, we can have the assurance that God loves us, that he is attentive to our prayers, that he hears what we bring before him, and that ultimately he will answer us according to his will. That's why here it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he's trying again to teach us and his disciples to not have that fear when coming to God. Of course, we have to respect and revere God, but we do not have to be fearful in the sense that we have to be scared of God, because he is a loving and gracious and merciful God, just like a loving and merciful Father. And also, what Jesus is trying to address is the fact that the Jews needed to simplify their understanding of what it meant to serve God. We know that the Jewish religion is populated with many, many commandments, not just the Ten Commandments that the Jews were commanded to follow, but there were many, many other commands, up to over 600 commands that were a part of their religious rite that they were expected to uphold throughout their lives. So this aspect of their life, the legal aspect of their life, Jesus was also trying to address and simplify. When we read in Mark chapter 12, we see someone coming to Jesus and asking them, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gives them a very, very thoughtful answer. He uses the words of the Shema prayer that I mentioned before, but he adds to it and gives a new dimension to it. So he tells this person that asks him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commandments than these. So Jesus even is trying to transform the understanding that the Jews have. It's not following each and every commandment and trying to prove to God that we are worthy to receive his blessings, but What matters again is sincerely loving God and also sincerely loving others. Simply put, loving God and loving others has to be the motto of our lives. And that's also what we see Jesus trying to communicate through this prayer. It's not just about expressing our needs to God, but it's also praying collectively as a community, knowing that we are called to love God, called to love others, called to serve God and to serve others as well. All of these things, you know, Jesus is addressing in this prayer. So he's trying to take away that selfish aspect that sometimes we have in our prayers, that we want this, we need this, we request God with so many things. But here Jesus is trying to again transform that understanding. First, he's giving importance and priority to understanding God's will and following God and knowing God as Father and Creator. And then as we go on in this prayer, when he says, give us this day our daily bread, again, he uses the pronoun us and not I, because again, it's about all of us, not just me as a person individually, but us together as the children of God. He again says, forgive us our sins. Again, it's not just about our particular sins or my personal sins, but it's about having the ability to forgive each other, to grow in that relationship with one another as well. And again, it says, lead us not into temptation. So it's not just a personal prayer, but it's a prayer that we use collectively to address each and every person's need as they continue their journey of life in this world. And so in and through this prayer, Jesus is addressing so many things and calling us to experience a change and transformation in our prayer life, giving priority to God and his will, and giving priority to understanding our relationship with God and also understanding our relationship with each other. So in this prayer, the spiritual realm of our lives is being addressed, that we are ultimately God's children, he is our Father, and we are called to do his will. We are called to have faith. We are called to trust in him. We are called to believe in him, and we are called to glorify him. Hallowed be your name. We are called to glorify his holy name. And also we see that the physical aspect of our lives is also being addressed. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, what we are affirming is that even though we have a great and wonderful God, a God who is so immense and who is incomparable, who is cannot be limited in our human understanding, even though we have such a great God, our God is still concerned with our basic needs, and he is able to meet our basic needs and lead us accordingly as his children. So our physical needs, the physical aspect of our lives, are also being addressed in this prayer. And then finally, we see in this prayer that the relational aspect of our life is being addressed. Not only our relationship with God, but also our relationship with others. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. We are to be built up in our relationship together as brothers and sisters. If God is our Father, and if we all call him our Father, that means we are all brothers and sisters, and we are called to grow together and continue to experience the presence of God in our lives. So the prayer that Jesus instituted as the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that helps us to understand all aspects of our own lives and also to understand all aspects of our God. William Barclay, in his commentary on this particular passage, he says that basically we can see even a Trinitarian nature of God being expressed in this prayer. First, he says that when we say, give us this day our daily bread, what we are addressing is our present needs, our needs in the present, and that we are affirming that God the Father is our creator and sustainer. Secondly, he says that we also look into the past where we have experienced God's presence, where we say, forgive us our sins. And we know that ultimately our sins were forgiven by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So we are looking to Jesus and affirming that he is our Savior and Redeemer when we take part in this prayer. And then finally also, we are committing our lives, our future, into God's hands when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So what we are doing is we are affirming the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who is our guide, our comforter, our counselor, our strength, and our guardian to help us in the midst of all the challenges that we face. And then William Barclay also goes on to say that the Lord's Prayer brings the whole of life into the presence of God and brings the whole of God into the whole of our lives. And that's how we have to understand the Lord's Prayer. It's not just something that we should ritualistically repeat, but it's a prayer that has to become our own prayer. It's not just the Lord's Prayer, but it's our prayer, the prayer that we have to pray together meaningfully and thoughtfully each and every day of our lives. It should be the model for the way that we choose to lead our lives prayerfully in the presence of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we continue to meditate upon this prayer, let's remember all that Jesus has tried to address here. It's a short and concise prayer, only about 50 words or so, but these words contain a great deal of meaning and show us how we are to model our lives after Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So let us pray this prayer prayerfully each and every day of our lives and seek to fulfill the will of God, to love Him, to love others, to serve Him, and to serve others as well. Let us bow our heads in prayer.